rented van or car or whatever, and then no motorcycle. So some guy up there from St. Louis knew that I had had a lot of bikes. He said, Frank, you can't leave Sturgis without taking a ride. And he said, here. And he hands me his helmet and shows me his motorcycle. And normally I would never ride somebody else's motorcycle. I don't do that. But when all around you is nothing but motorcycles, I just jumped on there and took off, and it was great. What we did, we had our, this was back when cars had cassette players in them. So we had our engineer who went with us take a microphone and go record a Harley exhaust. And he put it on cassette on an endless loop, and we drove around in our rented car with a Harley, listening to the Harley exhaust through the speakers in the car. Because you just, and I remember that, we interviewed a few different people who were there, and one of the guys I interviewed, he wasn't your typical biker. He was a real, like, upscale, looked like a wealthy guy. It turns out he was. He was a member of a gang called the Rolex Riders, and they were all rich guys. And so I said, asked him if I could interview him. He said, yeah. And I said, so you call the Rolex Riders? He said, yeah. And I said, what's required to get into your motorcycle gang? He said, well, you have to have a Rolex, and you have to show a net worth of at least $1 million.
Whoa.
Yeah. And you have to have a Harley. So he introduced just a couple of his friends, and these guys all were so rich that they didn't drive into Sturgis. They pulled trailers with, you know, tour bus type motorhomes and living in luxury. And then he said, I'll just tell you, we get outside of town about 50 miles. We hop off, unload our Harleys, and then we ride in, act like we're real tired that we rode all the way in. He said, we didn't ride in but 50 miles or so, but we drive and go, whoo, when we get off, like, oh, stretching like, man. But our motorhomes are parked outside of town with the trailers on them. Yeah, he was very interesting. And then the women, biker chicks, are interesting because they're everything from women that you can't even tell if they're really women to just gorgeous. I mean, and some of them wear, one gal gets off a motorcycle and she has leather chaps on and no pants, just the chaps. Just, you know, just her naked butt hanging out. And it was a really good looking butt too. And then there was another gal who had a leather vest with nothing under it, just the vest.
No.
So you can see a lot of, you know, side boob and some front boob.
Does she have bugs on her boobs? Any bugs on her chest right there?
You know, she should have had bugs tattooed all over her chest from riding a motorcycle. But my biker should have bugs tattooed on their face. Because I could never ride without a windshield because you talk about something that hurts, especially in this part of the country where there are bugs at night. You get halfway decent sized bug hit you in the face, like getting hit with a rock. It hurts. But bikers, this last couple of weeks, I've sort of wished that I had a big motorcycle again, a really big touring bike. Honda now has a Goldwing. That's their biggest, baddest, nicest, $30,000 motorcycle. Wow. They have it now. It's fully automatic. There's no shifting.
If my vision of what the afterlife is like is true, which is I believe you get to sit in a big chair with a remote control and rewatch some of the funny events in your life, or any event you want in your life.
That'd be great.
That's my hope, right? If that happens, one of the things I'm going to rewind and play is the one time I ever got on a motorcycle, and it was disastrous. I still have one. I was about 13 years old, and I still have a grandmother who's alive, and she had a boyfriend at the time, and he brought his motorcycle to a camping trip, and he agreed to let me try and ride this thing.
By the way, he was stupid.
Right. Well, that was correct. Yeah. And, well, let's see which one of us is more stupid at the end of this story, him or me. Because I told him he gave me kind of an tutorial on how to operate. I thought, okay, I know what I'm doing.
Uh-huh.
I get on this thing. He puts me on. He's okay. Go ahead. And I went. And this thing, I just gassed it, right? I didn't realize how sensitive it was. It shot out from underneath me.
Right.
My chest hit the ground as the bike sailed in front of me.
By itself.
And it wrecked into a tree. I never got on one again.
No, people really don't have any idea. When you let that clutch out, if you're giving any gas at all, it'll go out from under you. I have to retell my story from when I was, I guess, 10 or 11 or something. My neighbor, Danny, was a little older. He was about 12. Let's say I was 11. And Danny had been held back. He failed. You remember the shame of in grade school being told, if you don't this, you'll fail and you'll be held back a year. Remember how you looked at a kid who got held back like he was, sorry, mentally retarded. I know you're not supposed to say that now, but any kid that got held back, he was just automatically labeled stupid because he got held back a year. So Danny had been held back a year, but he wasn't stupid. He was just rebellious and one of those kids who hated school and didn't want to study, but he had a Sears moped.
Oh.
Man, oh, man. And I don't know if when you were a kid, if there was another kid that had something, and you looked at it and thought, you are the luckiest kid, like go-kart, a moped, whatever. You just thought, oh, man, if I had that.
One kid had a go-kart. Two kids had mini trail 50s, those little Honda mini trail 50s, and one had a mini trail 70.
Stop him.
Oh, man.
Hey, my first motorcycle at 16, I thought I had died and gone to heaven. I had to have it to go to work because I had a job at 16 every day after school. We couldn't afford a second car. That's the only way and the only reason my parents allowed me to buy, and I had to buy it, a motorbike to get to work. But I'm not kidding. I just remember the feeling. I thought, I am the luckiest guy in the world. I get to take a motorbike to school. Other kids getting off the bus, not me. Ring, ding, 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 ding. It was a little two-cycle. Ring, ding, 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 ding. It was just a motorbike. But I got to have one because I needed it to go to work. So back to my story with Danny, my neighbor. He had a Sears moped. It was a two-speed clutch in. First gear, clutch in, second gear. That's it, two gears. And you shifted them with the left throttle twist, not with your feet. The right was, as most all bikes are, the throttle. So I would get on the back, and we went all over that little hick town. We would drive in the summertime, and I remember the feeling of the wind. The top speed on it was like 40. But when you're a kid, that's fast, man. You ever been on a bicycle, and 20, 25 is sailing?
Yeah.
40, we might as well have been doing 150. It was so much fun. And to think, no helmet. That bike wasn't really made for two people. It's a miracle we just didn't have all the skin ripped off of us by having a wreck. But I would watch him from behind him, and I'd watch him shift, and how he let the clutch out, and how he gave it gas, and I studied it. And I said to him one day, I said, Danny, can I drive your moped? He goes, no! My dad, and his dad was mean. Did you ever have a friend as a kid whose dad was mean? That mean dad that all kids were afraid of? Mm. That was Danny's dad. He was mean. And all kids were afraid of him. He was not the nice neighbor dad. He was the mean neighbor dad. And he said, Mono, my dad has told me the day I let somebody else drive this is the day it gets sold. We get rid of it. And I just, that is all I wanted to do was get to drive a motorbike. So one summer day, Danny goes into the house to get a drink of Kool-Aid or ice water. Every kid, when I was a kid, had in the refrigerator a jar of water, cold water, and Kool-Aid. Dan, did you drink Kool-Aid when you were a kid?
Oh, all the time.
And it was made the right way with like 8 pounds of sugar.
Yep.
A bag of sugar in it and makes it real Kool-Aid.
Yeah.
So he goes in to get the cold drink. It's a hot summer day. And while he's in the house, I'm staring at this moped. I know how to start it. It had pedals like a bicycle.
Mm-hmm.
And I got on it, and like Tim said, you have no idea, even on a bike, a little moped like that, what to expect when you let the clutch out. So while he's in the house, I jumped on it, and I squeezed the clutch, and I put it down into first gear, gave it some gas, and let the clutch out. right into my house next door, brick house, brick house. Headlight shattered, front fender bent, steering wheel, handlebars bent, and just lying in the ground. Oh my goodness, I've never. Danny comes out. The look on his face was the look of, well, my life is over because my dad is going to kill me, and that my friend here, meaning me, your life is over too because you just wrecked my bike. And his dad made him get rid of it.
Oh, man.
So, and it was all because of me. Yeah. I carry folks' guilt and baggage that I sometimes don't talk about. That's one of the things in my life that I...
Have you ever heard from Danny again?
No. Oh, no, no. That pretty much ended that friendship. Well, you wrecked your buddy's moped.
Yeah.
His dad makes you sell it for scrap.
I thought you're done. I thought the end of the story you were going to say, and I said to Danny, well, you know, your dad's not going to keep this bike, so why don't you sell it to me?
Well, it was wrecked. I didn't want it.
yeah, you wrecked it.
Yeah.
Did his dad tell your dad or anything?
To pay for hang damages? A second.
Oh, no. He just took it all out on Danny because he had made it clear, Danny, this is on you. You know,
Were you still living next to Danny when you got your motorbike, or had you already moved
by
then?
No, we'd moved by then. That was a different time later on. I was 16 by then. This is when I was like... In fact, that was in Tennessee. By then, we'd moved up to Waterloo.
Okay.
I was in Waterloo when I got my first... And what's interesting about it, it's kind of like cars. You start off with a little nothing car when you're 16 or 17, and then you get a little better car and a little better car. And my first motorbike was a Bridgestone motorbike, and it was, let me get this right, it was 50 cc's. Now, 50 cc's is not much. And like anything else in your life, and I told my kids this, I don't care what you get, at the time you get it, you think, oh my goodness, if only I had this house, or this job, or this car, or that, you think, I'll never want anything else. But yes, you will. Because a year later, 6 months, something else will come along, and it's better, and you're tired of it. So I thought, what could be greater than this? I have a 50 cc until I saw the Bridgestone 90 cc.
Ooh.
And then I thought, okay, I have to have that. So I got a 90 cc and I worked to pay for all of them. I cut grass and I worked at the newspaper. And then I got, and this was the ultimate. And the first three were all Bridgestones. A Bridgestone 175 cc with dual exhaust. And that was great until I spotted a Honda. It was called a Honda 354, 350 FOUR, 350 cc's, four cylinders.
Whoa.
Bought it used from a preacher, like brand new. And I would just stare at it. And I'd wax the chrome. And I treated it like a Ferrari. And that was the bike until the next one. And then it just went on and on and on and on. And I've had about every kind of motorcycle, from Harleys to Hondas to Yamaha to... Started with Bridgestone, and it's one of those things that I get it that some people don't like them. Don't care anything about riding them, scared of them. I get it. I'm the same way about horses. I don't like horses. I've ridden horses a lot, and I don't like them. I don't care anything. I like to watch them. They're pretty, but I don't want to ride them. I think they're strong, and they're mean, and they do what they want to do. You can pull that rein all you want to. If that horse decides I'm going back to the barn, it's going back to the barn. Lyme, did you ever ride a horse?
I've kind of ridden a horse around a little pasture.
Yeah.
That was fun.
Yeah, and if you're trail riding with them and they decide to stop and eat something.
They're going to stop and eat, and you can pull on the reins all you want to. That head's staying down.
Yep.
And then when they ever start to, you didn't mean for it to break into a trot or something faster. Whoa, 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 whoa.
Yeah.
You didn't mean for it. You didn't go, ha, let's go. You can't stop it.
It beats the hell out of you too.
It
you
does.
Don't realize.
No, it does. It slams your butt up and down. And if you don't know how to ride, you'll beat your brains out. It will.
I put a story in my book that's called Time to Breed, and it's a story of when I attended a horse breeding ceremony.
Oh, I thought it was about when you tried to have children.
A horse breeding ceremony?
Yeah. Yeah. It was a $100,000 breeding event.
Oh, yeah.
And that doesn't even guarantee a pregnancy. That just guarantees that the male got delivered. And and it was hilarious. I mean, it was violent, it was stunning, and it was the Q&A session that we had afterward is the hilarious part.
Are you
of
kidding
the story.
Me? People pay $100,000, and even if that mayor doesn't get pregnant, you're still out the $100,000.
That's not even the high end. They pay $500,000, and there's no guarantee of pregnancy. It's just guaranteed. Hey, if your mayor can't handle the, you know, because there was even a scientist on site that took some of the semen from the horse and put it under a microscope and notarized and validated that live semen, legit semen was inserted into the mare.
Wow.
And then, hey, if your mare can't get pregnant, it's not our problem. Bring her back. Bring another 100.
You can't handle the semen.
Yeah.
Oh, man. Oh, no. I've seen that
and
stuff.
And those horses, those studs, those horses, they call it I forget what they call it, but they, a
big wiener?
An event. They can do it like 5 times a day.
What? 5 times a day?
Yeah, and that's unusual?
Well, so the event that I saw was this horse's 3rd event of the day. And, wow. The mayor was all excited. Her head's all bobbing up and down, and she's clicking her hooves on the floor and everything. She knows about what's going down. And this mayor, and the stud comes in, and he's just like, I'm like, what's wrong with him?
Here we go again.
This is the 3rd time he's done it today. He was excited at the 7 a.m. and the 10 a.m. showing, but this noon, he gets a little worn out.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah.
Man.
5 a day.
All right. Now, this is a question, and be honest, all right? We've never talked about this, and I'm willing to contribute. When you were at your peak, and maybe this is not fair because, I mean, you were married, though.
Yep.
And Tim, I don't know why I can't remember. You've never been married, right?
Correct.
Okay, so maybe this is not right for you. Dan, what's the most, when you were just so, I mean, couldn't stand to be away from each other and all over each other, what is, and tell the truth, the most number of times you did it in a day?
Oh, 3.
Okay, that's about probably right.
Yeah.
5 for me. But only once.
Wow.
Only once. And I had come home from the Army basic training. And I'm going to tell you something.
In one
coming
day.
Home from basic, yes, coming home from basic training is kind of like getting out of prison.
Right.
It'd be kind of like a guy getting out of prison who hadn't seen a woman for 20 years. And I'm not kidding, 5 times. Thank you. Thank you so much. But that was only once. Only once. My wife probably will not like that I told her.
The problem is that then that's to be expected every time.
Oh, no. It's to be dreaded, I think, if you're the wife. But see, back then, when you're newlyweds or just married,
right.
They act like, oh, yeah, like they're accommodating. And then as time goes by, no, we just did it a month ago. everything changes. But, yeah, I will never forget that because that night after number 5, I just thought to myself, yeah. 5 times.
This is 590 The Fan and 590thefan.com.
I want a picture of Charlie Tuna watching the Super Bowl on Channel 5. I won't watch, of course, if the Rams are in it.
Oh, my God.
But I want a picture of you hand the trophy to Kevin Demoff. I want to see your reaction then.
Well, then I won't. Well, I got Kevin's okay.
Oh, he's
I'll
okay.
Be, I'll
oh
be at that
God.
Super Bowl. I'll be at the Super Bowl. John Shaw will be there. It'll be just a tremendous deal.
I don't know if Shaw will be there. He and Enos are not friendly.
Oh, no. Well.
They might be friendly with you, but not Stan.
No, they kind of had a falling out even
correct.
Before. Yeah.
Because Stan was cheap and didn't want to pay John money he owed him. There's that story at Rams Park where he asked somebody to get Final Four tickets. He wanted to go. And they said, we'll call around. And they said they might ask us for some Super Bowl tickets next year or something in trade. And he said, well, why would we have to do that?
It's only here on 590 The Fan and 590thefan.com.
Maryville University offers more than 90 innovative, market-relevant degree programs. Maryville invests in state-of-the-art technology to empower its students to learn in an engaging, collaborative environment. Through its Digital World program, students receive free iPads loaded with digital textbooks and more than 150 apps. With a dedicated life coach assigned to each student and a 97% career placement rate, Maryville provides a great return on investment. Check out maryville.edu for more information.
First, let's talk about the food before we let you know where you can feast on it. When was the last time you had beef tenderloin with a tangy Greek sauce sliced into juicy medallions that are so tender you could eat them with a butter knife? It's called the Pepper Loin, and that's how it's done at Surf and Sirloin. You know the place located in the southwest quadrant of Manchester and 270. Open for lunch Tuesday through Sunday and dinner 7 days a week and serving only USDA prime beef. Check out their menu online at surfandsirloin.com.
At the Gatesworth, you set the standard for exceptional senior living. Their warm residential setting and commitment to personalized service ensure that each resident has what they need, when they need it, and the way they like it. Start with the active routine, relax, and savor each moment. Visit the Gatesworth on Facebook or schedule a personal tour on thegatesworth.com and see for yourself how the Gatesworth does senior living your way.
At Elysium Restoration and Design, they specialize in interior home renovations, including bathroom and kitchen remodeling, basements, additions, garages, and more. They offer start-to-finish solutions for every project while providing full design services with custom work to fit your needs. Elysium's lead carpenters have at least 10 years' experience, so you know the work is done the right way. And being a family-run business, they take the time to communicate every step of the way. Check out Elysium Restoration and Design at erdstl.com.
Work before and after school and start each shift with a hug.
Adventure Club is awesome. The teachers are so nice.
Parkway Rockwood Adventure Club is looking for heart-centered staff to bring experiences to life for our students. Call 636-891-MORE to get more than a job.
This is 590 The Fan and 590thefan.com.
And we are delighted to be joined by one of the great umpires in Major League Baseball history, Dave Phillips. How about your best exchange with a young Tony La Russa?
In Chicago, I had him play at second base, of which he was coming out to talk about. He was very slow, methodical manager, and the game was taking forever all the time. So he'd come out there, and I really didn't think the play was that close. So I said to him, before he could say anything, I said, Tony, I said, for God's sakes, I said, you know, if you keep managing the way you're managing, we're going to be out here, and you're going to have to start these games at 6:30 if you want to get on the news at 10 o'clock. I mean, we're going to have 3-4 hour games every night with you. After the game, he knocks on the door, and he comes in, and he says, Dave, can I talk to you? I said, yeah. He says, you kind of embarrassed me out there today. I said, I didn't mean to embarrass you, Tony. I'm just telling you. I mean, it's for God. You've got to move the game along, and you're coming out and argue about everything.
It's only here on 590 The Fan and 590thefan.com.
George Bush.
That's code. No, it's code. It's not. You don't get lots of George Bush.
Yeah.
In this game. And by the way, stop the music. That doesn't even work anymore to talk about Bush. Because women, they...
I don't know. It's making a comeback.
It is?
Yeah, it is.
Not grooming and going back to the old 70s.
Well, I mean, there's still like, you know, there's not like...
Don't get too graphic.
Full on, you know, 70s Afro Bush, but they're like, you know, it's like the little V Bush.
Enough that it can again be called Bush.
Yeah.
Well, thank you for that millennial sex update.
I just thought of a phrase.
What?
A bird in the hand's worth two in the bush.
No, you didn't, because I thought of that 30 years ago. Beat you. Music, please. There you go.
A bird in the hand.
What? You've never heard that?
Yeah, I have.
No. Well, good afternoon and welcome to... Hey, look at this. It's October already. The October 1st edition Opinions Playhouse, brought to you by Thompson Price. Kitchens, baths, home. Someday in some trivia contest, maybe there'll be the question, what was the sponsor? Who was the sponsor of the Playhouse on the very last day of the first year the show was on 590 The Fan? And the answer would be Thompson Price, Kitchens, Baths, Home. We'll talk about them, who they are, what they do, where the showroom is. But first,
hey!
At the control board. He said he wants like a title or a nickname, so we'll have to think of something. I think Trevor Limestone Limey Phillips is good enough, but maybe... control board operator who's mediocre but trying to become good or something like that. We'll work on it. For now, we just say that he spent 19 years in Great Britain, 10 of those in Birmingham, England. He is Trevor Limestone Limey. Phillips, say hello to everyone.
Hello, everyone.
In the glass booth, the quarantine room, Dan Strauss, heir to the Levi Strauss fortune, is in the house with his trouser mouse.
And if I only had a brain.
Dan, has your daughter ever asked you what trouser mouse means?
No.
Think she knows?
I think she knows.
Yeah. How old is she?
21.
Yeah, she knows. She knows. Dan, say hi to your sponsor.
I would like to say hi and thanks to Mark and Jason from Stiefel. And if you're changing jobs and have a retirement account, you can call them and set up a complimentary portfolio review. Stiefel is a member of the SIPC and NYSE. For their phone number and more, go to
markandjason.com.
Hello, everybody.
I want to mention again that Josh Bauman, our temporary tryout tech guy, was brought to you by Window World, the preferred window of the St. Louis Blues and the number one selling replacement window in the United States. In the studio and off the road today. And he doesn't have to give us notice or ask our permission to leave town. Sometimes he just gets up, thinks, hey, I think I'll hit the road, and then off he goes, northbound, southbound, westbound, or sometimes...
Do you guys save up all of your energy all day long for that 3 second? Okay.
Yeah. All weekend long Thank you for that one.
Appreciate it.
Bill Cleveland, say hello to everybody.
Hello, everyone.
You will hear from Bill in just a moment. And, you know, when he started here, I thought, well, he wears two hats. And now I realize he wears like five hats. One of them being...
fit like a glove.
Dan, stop the music. That didn't even make sense because I know that joke. What you just did didn't make sense. Five hats. No, the joke is, did you hear about the man with five penises?
Yeah.
His pants fit like a glove.
Yeah.
Okay. You chose to take that punchline and use it with hats. Do you realize how that wasn't funny?
No.
No, you don't. You actually don't.
Oh, my goodness.
Mrs. Gump, your boy's here. Dan's here.
Yeah. Okay. If Forrest Gump had been valedictorian, Dan would have been salutatorian. He would have been just under Forrest Gump. Start the music again.
Dan.
One of the hats, you know, before Tim got here, we had a digital clock, and if it wasn't set right, we didn't know what to do. And then he comes along and goes, I'll be in charge of that, and he reset the digital clock. Not just anybody could do that. He's the head of the news department and the newscaster and head of the research department. Oh, and there's one other thing he does. Yes, the theme song for the Rockford Files, Jim Rockford, played by James Garner, private investigator. We play it because this guy is also a private investigator. Tim Woodburn, say hello to your sponsor.
Thank you, Frank.
Oh, and an author. Yeah.
This month, as a matter of fact, I'm celebrating 10 years of being a private investigator with a new book of 50 true and hilarious stories from the field of being a PI and a sports broadcaster. It's called Bad Mood, Good Mood. If you want to turn your bad mood into a good mood, buy my book at badmoodgoodmood.com. Chapter 39 is called Chocolate Snitch. It's the story of a woman who only spoke English and her husband of 8 years only spoke Spanish, and neither one spoke the other one's language, and it's the story of how they communicated and got through 8 years of marriage.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
That would be interesting. Right. That alone is worth buying the book for.
It's a good chapter.
To find the answer...
I asked
the question, how did they communicate?
I asked her, how did he ask you to marry him? And she said, oh, he just got down on his knee and I knew what he was doing.
Well, there you go. You hold a ringer on your knee, you don't have to say anything.
Exactly.
That's true. Ibi Jimenez is in charge of security. Bernice is in heaven.
You are so kind, Dan.
No, I told you he's gone, Rat Boy. Rat Boy wanted to talk to Josh Bauman. He wanted to warn people. He said his USB port into his computer was all jammed up and he couldn't get the USB plug in there, and then he realized that he'd been drinking and eating. What were you eating?
Cheese.
He got some clogged in that port, some cheese in there.
You put port cheese in there.
Oh, that's, you know what? For you, that's good. No, that port cheese.
Port wine.
You hear that, Rat Boy? Port, well, there is port cheese.
Yeah.
Though. It's that swirled, like red and yellow, port wine cheese. Yeah. Dan, that was actually, I'm stunned. That was, let me make a note of that. Hang on, what's the date today? October 1st, Dan said something fairly funny. I'll write that down.
It took him a year.
Yeah, a year. Wow, he just made it, just inside of a year. Give it up, please, for Bruce Limprist and the All Boy Orchestra.
All right. I have a question for Tim right now.
All right. Tim, it's for you.
I can't see the TV. What is the score of the game?
The Dodgers are winning 5-0 in the top of the seventh inning.
Whoa.
So if they go on to win that game, the Cubs will play the Rockies in a one-card wild card.
Wow.
If they hold on to win.
Yeah.
Well, this is a sports station. Mm-hmm. See? Even during this show, where it's hosted by a sports idiot, you can still get updates like that. We're not on TV, are we? That thing over there? A Facebook TV?
I don't know.
I don't think so.
Yeah, good. It's off. We're not broadcasting.
I want to be on TV. I want to go right to the top, 11.2. I don't want to do Facebook. I want to go, boom, right to the top. We're brought to you by Thompson Price, the longest running advertiser this show has. 23 years an advertiser on this show. AM and the PM. That's what you tell them when you contact them or when you go by the showroom. Make a point of that. AM and the PM. Even if you're just in the preliminary stages, you think, well, we know it's coming. We're going to have to remodel our kitchen or our bathroom. It might be a year from now, 6 months from now, a month from now. It doesn't matter. Please, please talk to the folks at Thompson Price. You make your own decision. You go with whoever you want to go with. I don't think it's too much to ask, to just ask you to please give them a shot. Give them a chance. They're not high pressure. They don't have to be. Because when they get back to you after they come out and measure your kitchen or your bathroom, then they're going to come back and they're going to show you and tell you the ideas they have. And that's also going to be a result of not just measuring for space, but in getting your input for some ideas you have. Maybe it's something you saw in somebody else's kitchen or bathroom or in a magazine. And then you will have answered all the questions that they're going to ask you. And they're going to ask you, it's almost like being cross-examined or something by an attorney, but it's all necessary. You know, would you rather buy a car from somebody who said, yeah, come on out, we'll show you a car, or from somebody who said, well, you're looking for an SUV or a sedan or pickup truck, you want extended bed. Somebody who actually was interested in exactly what would be the perfect vehicle. Of course you'd rather do that. And that's what this is. There are companies that'll come out and they'll just measure and then they'll go, okay, here's what we can do and here's what it'll cost. That's not enough. That's not good enough. That's not going to be the perfect kitchen. It's just not. Or bathroom. Thompson Price, 23 years as part of this show. I'd like to keep them on here till I'm finished. And I don't know when that'll be. It could be in a month. It could be in 5 or 10 years. It'll all be determined by whether or not we still have advertisers. And whether or not we keep them is up to you. You need to tell them your AM and the PM. Thompson Price. They know what they're doing. They have one goal. Perfection. Perfection. Or as close to perfection as anybody can come. Showroom is in De Pere, less than a quarter mile east of 270 on Manchester. ThompsonPrice.com.
I've been to Reno, Chicago, Fargo, Minnesota, Buffalo, Toronto, Winslow,
South. Gather around. Unless you're in the car, you don't have to gather around. You're already gathered around the radio. We all look forward to seeing where Uncle Billy Cleveland's going to take us. He's taking us a lot of places. Let's see where it is today. Brought to you by Window World. The company that makes so many of these segments possible every week. The company that sells the number one selling replacement window in the country and the preferred window of the St. Louis Blues. WindowWorldSt.Louis.com for more. Let's hear it now for Bill Cleveland. Hello, Bill.
I was named after my Uncle Bill.
Really?
I
was talking to
William Martin.
The Pancake House Uncle Bill?
Yes, that guy. That's the one. No, of course
not. I was talking to one of your three fans in attendance.
There are four.
And they said that they call you Wild Bill.
Ooh.
Cleveland. Been called Wild Bill.
Yeah. Wild Bill.
My uncle Bill, God rest his soul, a World War II veteran, an amazing man, miss him very much, was one of the nicest people I've ever known in my entire life. But his name, his full name, and, you know, he was so excited that he was going to have a newborn named after him, but he wanted, I guess, his full name and his full, now keep in mind, World War II veteran, so it kind of gives you an idea of the age. His middle name was Adolf. So William Adolf Martin. And so at the time, that name had not been ruined for all of eternity. And so thankfully, I do not have that as a middle name, but, always miss my Uncle Bill.
Wouldn't you seriously almost consider changing, forget Hitler, just Adolf?
Yes.
Just because of who it's associated with.
Right, yeah. So on this day in 1872, America's first national park was founded. Anybody have any idea what America's first national park?
1870.
The Grand Canyon?
On this day in 1872.
Queenie Park. Oh, that's a county park.
That is.
This is a state park or national?
No, national park.
Yellowstone?
Grand Canyon.
The Smokies.
Jellystone.
Yellowstone National Park. You're correct. almost said Jellystone. No, Yellowstone National Park.
Why is it called Yellow? Did somebody pee on a rock or something? Like, really, why is it called Yellowstone?
That's actually a really good question. I don't know the answer to that.
You should have. If I'd come in here with talking about Yellowstone, I'd have had the answer to that.
So Yellowstone National Park, just a few little interesting fun facts about it. 3,472 square miles. It is a big national park. 63 miles north and south and 54 miles east and west. Do you know the three states that Yellowstone is a part of or in? There are three states.
Miami, you take it first.
Don't. All right. Tim? Hang on a second.
I stopped him from Googling.
Wyoming, New Jersey, and Maine.
New Jersey!
you brilliant.
What a brilliant. Dan, what three states?
Wow.
New Jersey.
Wow.
He's a British, sort of.
Jordan's
half British.
Dan.
Yellowstone, Wyoming, Colorado. Oh,
I was right with Wyoming?
I don't know. Oh, wow. I have no idea. I'm just throwing Wyoming in there.
I just picked that one at random.
All right, Tim.
No, hold on. He just said Wyoming, Colorado. He's still got one to go.
I'm not even close.
I don't think he knows three states.
Well, what's the third one?
I don't think he knows the names of three states.
Oh, I'm trying to think about Kansas.
Kansas?
Yeah.
Oh, my. Tim.
I'll guess Colorado, Wyoming, and Utah.
All right, I'm going to say Colorado, Wyoming, and Nevada.
God, these are the dumbest people I've ever met in this
world. Where are they?
He's all right, in there? 96% of Yellowstone National Park is in Wyoming.
Wow, that's kind of right.
3% is in Montana, 1% in Idaho.
What?
Idaho, yep. I'm surprised that you didn't
1% is not even enough.
But to Colorado isn't even no.
No, I can honestly put my hand up. I have
New Jersey,
no,
I can't believe.
That I know, well, that was just a joke.
You know, I've never been to Yellowstone Park. I got to fix that.
Where is Wyoming? Like, where is that? I have no idea where
it's west.
Colorado.
It's west and kind of north.
All right, cool.
Oh my goodness!
I got to go. I'm serious. I need to go. I don't think an American citizen should die if you lived, a fairly long life without having gone to Yellowstone Park.
So there are 300 active geysers, 290 waterfalls, lots of species of animals, 67 species of mammals, 285 species of birds, 16 species of fish.
Stop. Yes. Geyser. Why are they only there? Why aren't there geysers in Missouri? So what is a geyser? It's that shoots that water. Is that hot water? Or is it cold water? What is it?
I think it's hot water.
No, it's hot water.
I think it's like extremely... and I think there's some sort of, I'm going to sound like a
thermal mark. Thing. That
yes.
There's a bunch of old geysers in this retirement home next to our place.
No, don't.
He pays me to laugh.
He does? Okay, I didn't know that.
A geyser is a hot spring in which water intermittently boils, sending a tall column of water and steam into the air.
And isn't Old Faithful on the hour or something?
Every 92 minutes.
I mean, exactly 90. Isn't that something?
Every 92 minutes. There were, I don't know if it was last year, but within the last few years, there was a story that a couple of tourists, I think it was a brother and a sister, they went off the beaten path here, and this is, again, a reminder never to do things like this. Stay on the path within these parks.
female and male, they left the designated area and they went down to one of these thermal pools, and the guy just trying, he was just going to put his toe in. He slipped
and
he went in and his body essentially disintegrated.
Yeah, I heard that story.
Whoa.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So don't do that.
What's the one that goes off and sings country music? Old Faith Hill.
Oh my goodness.
Thanks, Tim.
Is he paying you to laugh, too?
Just because you don't know who Faith Hill is. Old Faith Hill.
She is married to Tim McGraw.
Oh, yes. He's very good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Thank you.
And they have adjoining homes in Maine and New Jersey.
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness. On average, there are about 4 million people that visit Yellowstone National Park. It's in the top five of most visited national parks. Well, I'll just quickly end with. So one thing I really love to talk about, there is a thing called the Beartooth Scenic Byway. And I've mentioned this before, I believe. And it is, if you're going to head to Yellowstone, you're going to take that trip, you have to jump on this trip. So it's like 60 miles of, I don't know how to describe it other than it's the only place in the country where I have been where I felt like I was on another planet. As you're standing there and you're looking at your surroundings and you're looking at the scenery, it's just unbelievable. And so Charles Kuralt, who you know, the famous travel journalist, said it is the most beautiful drive in the United States. And I would totally agree with that. So if you're headed to Yellowstone, make sure you take that trip. It's called the Beartooth Scenic Byway. You can only do it in the summer months because otherwise it's covered in snow. Massive amounts
and
of snow.
What is it? Is it just a road? I mean,
so it's a scenic byway. So you'll start just outside of Billings, Montana, and then you'll wrap your way all the way to the north entrance of Yellowstone National Park. And I'm telling you, it is unbelievable. You will stop your car every 5 minutes to take pictures of what you're seeing.
Because how long of a drive is that?
I believe if you did round trip and you didn't stop, I think it's 4 hours. So count on a whole day just exploring this road. And
wow.
People who do, you know, like motorcycles and stuff, you talk about an amazing trip, I'm
never
sure.
Never heard of it. I've never heard of it.
Yeah. Oh, no. It's incredible. So it's called the Beartooth Scenic Byway. If you're headed to Yellowstone, check that out. And I am Bill Cleveland on the road and on 590 The Fan.
They're loyal.
They are.
They may be few, but they are loyal. Bill Cleveland, courtesy of Window World, the number one selling replacement window in the United States, and the preferred window of the St. Louis Blues. In 30 minutes, we will have completed our first full year here.
Wow.
Wow. It was a pretty rough first 6 months, I will tell you. But it all worked out. Everything shook out the way it should. I want to say hello to Officer Justin Bryant. He's with the Wildwood Police Department. I pulled over yesterday. He was sitting on the side of the road, I guess, watching for speeders. So I pulled over, walked up, and thanked him. So thank you, Officer Bryant, Wildwood PD. Kanye West, I don't watch Saturday Night Live, but apparently he was the musical guest Saturday night. Did you see about that?
No, I missed.
He wore a Make America Great cap.
Yeah, he's been wearing that for a while.
He's a Trump supporter. But to go on SNL and do it where they hate Trump, and whether you like Trump or you don't like him, when he talks about fake news, this is the perfect example. I found out by watching something I saw this morning that because he's so pro-Trump, they edited some of his comments out of the show because they were pro-Trump. Now, they never do that if it's anti-Trump. In fact, they allow Robert De Niro to get up and go, F Donald Trump. Yeah. Remember that at the Academy Awards? Yet, if Kanye West says that, they edit it out. They didn't edit all of it. They couldn't edit out the fact he's wearing a cap, Make America Great Again. I don't understand how, you know, the First Amendment, it's okay for one side, it's not okay for the other side, but I will say this, like Trump or hate Trump, it takes some big ones for Kanye West, considering what he does, who he is, the family he's part of. His following is not exactly the Trump crowd, so it takes some pretty big ones for him to stand up and go, hey, I have First Amendment rights too, and I like what the guy's done. I like the economy.
To play a devil's advocate, he also called for the repeal of the 13th Amendment, which is the one that abolished slavery. So that's kind of
well, but then he tried to explain what he meant.
I know. I'm just saying that.
By that,
yeah, that guy also did say that slavery was a choice, and
Matt, I didn't say he was the smartest guy in the world.
No, I'm just like that one. That statement threw me a little bit.
And you don't think Robert De Niro's ever said anything stupid? He's just an actor. Yeah. That's all he is. He's an actor.
I am not defending Robert De Niro in any way, shape, or form.
Think of all the famous people who've said really dumb things over the years. Britney Spears, Cher, Barbara Streisand. They don't edit them.
Now, did you see, and I only saw this on, I saw a video of it on Facebook. I didn't watch Saturday Night Live Saturday night at all.
I don't watch them anymore.
But
there's no more talent.
Matt Damon did almost a spot on Kavanaugh. They did a whole thing.
See, this is my problem with SNL. It's all politics.
All right. Well, yeah, it has turned into all politics.
Now, I used to like SNL quite a lot, and some of their opening skits were hilarious. I haven't watched it in years because it sucks. But this one here, getting Matt Damon to do the Brett Kavanaugh thing right in the opening, I think that, like, I haven't watched the skit, so I don't know if it's funny or what it's about or not. But I think that is really insulting, especially given if you're like a fan of his or you support him or not, or you think he did what Christine Ford says. Using him as the opening skit, what was it, like 11 minutes or something like that?
Yeah.
Or like five months between there, in the middle, several days after this just happened. That is not cool in my book.
Well, here's why it's not cool. This man has not yet been proven guilty of anything. The only reason you do that is when you want to make fun of somebody, which in a sense is saying, hey, he's a liar. And he, we don't know that. We don't know that she's lying. He's lying. We don't know. And I just think we've gotten to where we just want to just convict people just because somebody said he did it. Well, okay. If you said he did it, he did it. Maybe he did. If he did, I think we're going to find out. If there are any credible people that come forward, he'll get what he deserves, meaning he won't get this appointment. What else? Oh my goodness, this is such a great story. It just happened last night. Lion's Choice. I've said this before. The best fast food roast beef anywhere. It's the leanest, most tender. You ever had Lion's Choice roast beef?
Oh, yeah, I love Lion's
Choice. There's not a piece of fat in it.
Is that just in St. Louis, Lion's Choice?
I don't know.
Or is that all over the country?
You know, I don't know. I think it's just in St. Louis. But I love Lion's Choice. But let me tell you what happened last night. What I do is I go in and I get just the meat. I go, give me like a half pound or a pound of the meat. And I get the little seasoning and the au jus or whatever they call it. So I go in this same one I always go to last night, and there were two young guys working back there, maybe 20 years old. And I said, show me what a pound looks like, and we'll go from there, and I may add a little. So they took a pound and put it on the scale, and they go, there's a pound. I said, give me a little more. Just grab another chunk and put it on there. And he did, and I said, there, right there, that looks like enough. What is that? He said, that's 22 ounces. I said, I'll take it.
Mm-hmm.
He had a conference with his buddy, and they said, we're going to have to get our manager's okay to sell you the 22 ounces. I said, why? He said, I'm not making any of this up. He said, because if we sell you 22 ounces, we may not have enough for the rest of the night for sandwiches. Okay.
Wow.
I said, okay, where's the manager? They said, he'll be right back. He's in the restroom. So this guy comes out who's the manager, who looked to be every bit of 17 years old. Mm-hmm. I'm not kidding. He looked no more than 17 or 18. And I said, are you the manager? He said, yeah. I said, these guys don't know if they can sell me 22 ounces of this meat or not. Would you okay it or not or whatever? So he goes back and they have a conference.
Oh.
And then the original guy that I dealt with, manager disappears in the back. He comes out and he says, my manager says that we cannot sell you 22 ounces. We have to sell you 24 ounces. Now, this makes no sense because he had just said 22 might be too much, but they have to sell me 24.
Because 24 ounces would probably equal two sandwiches. That's what I'm guessing.
Okay.
Is that what they charge you for?
24 ounces. They added another 2 ounces.
Yeah.
And they could sell me that, but it didn't make sense. If we may not have enough for sandwiches.
Yeah. Said,
what? I just walked out thinking, this doesn't make any sense at all. Still the greatest roll speed.
And they are only in the St. Louis area. Though it's, I see a couple, one in Wentzville and out in Washington.
Thank you, Mr. Know-It-All.
No, no, you're
somebody
thinking
has
of, you're
to
thinking
step up
Tim.
Around here.
Yeah. Tim's Mr. Know-It-All. You've got the wrong guy. I just, that didn't make sense to me, but I love Lion's Choice. It's really lean, good stuff. I didn't mean to, but over the weekend I watched Hacksaw Ridge again. Have you watched this movie?
No.
Mel Gibson's been, oh, Limey, you gotta watch Hacksaw Ridge. It's a true story.
Okay.
Desmond Doss, he was a conscientious objector, and he single-handedly, one by one, saved the lives of 75 men and never carried a gun.
Wow.
It's a great story. I forgot how great this story is. And it's all true. It's unbelievable. So, I don't know, just one of those things we forget about that was a really, really good movie. Tomorrow at about 3:15, Richard Sturban.